Merry Christmas again, and grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. I'd like to reread that section of our reading today. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is our text. So I noticed that you got some new clothes for Christmas. How's that sweater fit? Those pants? That dress? Maybe you're not sure about the basil green color. Maybe it's a bit snug after all those cookies we've been eating. Maybe the cable design or the V-neck just isn't you. Maybe you've already snagged it on something or spilled eggnog on it. Those things happen. Enjoy the new clothes anyway. I hope you'll wear them until they wear out, or you grow tired of them, or you replace them with the latest style. But those aren't the new clothes I'm talking about. I mean the new clothes that St. Paul talks about in Colossians. They were given to you in your baptism. It's the part where he tells us to put on what we've been given. Put on compassionate hearts. Put on love. The part where he tells us to own and wear what now belongs to us. He says it twice in our six verses. Put on. Those words have Christmas gift written all over them. Paul hands us what we need to dress and clothe ourselves. It's as if he's saying, wear this, dear friends. I hear an echo of a parable somewhere in there as well. Remember the king who invites everyone to the wedding feast and gives them all the white robes to wear? Only one guy thinks his own rags are good enough and that he don't need nothing from the king. So he trots in, wearing what he's already got on, and promptly gets thrown out. And I mean out, like way out into the outer darkness out. So when Paul talks about putting on these clothes, we say, absolutely, Paul, we'll take these clothes. Thank you very much. Now we should think about where these clothes come from and who they're for. He gives us a little tag in the reading, and the tag tells us who they're for. They're for God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And you can already guess who they're from. This is no Santa Claus gift. They're from the only one who would dare call you and me chosen, elect, holy, and beloved. And he really means it. I mean, we wouldn't dare say that about ourselves, would we? Oh, I'm holy. Oh, I'm beloved. Oh, I'm chosen. Not unless he says it about us first, as he does here. And what wonderful titles these are. Chosen. Holy. Beloved. That's what it says on your tag. The one given to you when you were baptized. And if you're not baptized or you're not sure, come talk to me and let's make it happen. God's chosen. What does that mean? We could also say the elect of God. God has chosen you in Christ before the foundation of the world. And he made that choice known in holy baptism. Chosen in Christ. Those words in Christ are so key. This isn't like being chosen for a pickup basketball game. He didn't choose you because you're the fastest, or you can jump the highest, or you've got the best three-point shot. Don't look at yourself to figure out why he chose you, because you'll be confused and scratching your head forever. It only makes sense when you look at him. Then you'll know. It's his love, his gracious favor, freely given and shown to you, the good pleasure of his will. That's why you're a chosen one. And the second word, holy, that's a result of being chosen by God. You are holy, cleansed, sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. We heard in the gospel reading about how Jesus' parents brought him to the temple when he was 40 days old to present him and to redeem him. But this was a little different than the redemption talked about in Exodus, because he wasn't really brought there to be redeemed or bought back. This time it was different. He came as the Redeemer. He would be the one to pay the price for all, to purchase and win us by his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He earned our forgiveness. And we have it now by faith. For his sake, we are holy before God. We are covered without spot or blemish. You might say there are no snags, no eggnog on these clothes. And finally, beloved, for the sake of Jesus Christ, his beloved Son, the Father truly loves you. He's well pleased with you. His heart goes out to you. Loved, what do we say? More than we deserve, and way more than we know. So as God's chosen, holy, and beloved people, what has he given us to wear? It's quite a list. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. He wants to dress us up in an outfit that matches his. You know, like when the father and son get the same set of pajamas for Christmas, they look so cute in the same thing. What he wears, he wants us to wear too. And what clothes? These are not things that came off the sale rack, and they're not cheap knockoffs either. These are genuine articles. He would clothe us in virtues. People sometimes talk about dressing for the occasion or dressing for success. He's doing the same thing for us. A sweatshirt and leggings won't do. He's dressing us for eternity. So what will work? Putting on an attitude of compassion and kindness toward those around us. Putting others in front of and before ourselves. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. What does that mean? That's a willingness to overlook the little things. And sometimes the big things too. The insults, the slights, the sideways looks, the cross temper, the thoughtless and insensitive comments. If we're really going to know each other, if we're really going to rub shoulders with each other in the church, in our homes, in our daily lives, forgiveness is an absolute necessity. And honestly, we all have something, probably multiple things, that others have to bear with. You know what they are in your own life. There are things that you need others to forgive and overlook and tolerate. And this is a good reason why we should bear with others when we find them disagreeable or hard to live with. And above all these, Paul says, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Love. Love is why Jesus came to Bethlehem, to Gethsemane, to Calvary's holy mountain. Love is what he delivers to you in his word, in holy baptism, in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Love is what he gives us and clothes us in. It's like the belt that holds everything together and keeps it all in place. What did Jesus say on the night when he was betrayed? Thinking not about the suffering he had to go through, but about what he was giving to his own apostles and church. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Or in Romans, where St. Paul echoes this saying of Jesus, he says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, and the commandments are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And all of this, this kindness and compassion and bearing with one another and forgiving one another and love, it's all a description of the way things are for us now that Christ has entered in. Christ, says St. Paul, with his love, his kindness, is all in all. And you know, it's so beautiful when you see it. I'm sure you could think of countless examples from the scriptures where you see this compassion and kindness and love, but a couple of them jumped out to me. Like when Jesus prays for his persecutors while hanging on the cross. Can you imagine going through that suffering and having the presence of mind to say, Father, forgive them? Or also when Jesus is on the cross and he turns to that repentant thief, a man who deserved what he got, and gives him something undeserved. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Or that time when St. Paul is in the jail in Philippi, and the earthquake comes, and their bonds fall off, and the Philippian jailer is about to kill himself, and St. Paul responds to the jailer, not by telling him off, but by telling him about Jesus and the gift of baptism. How beautiful these things are. And I'm sure you've seen it too in real life at some point, maybe not often, but once in a while. You know, that mother who doesn't fly off the handle at her kid, but bears with the little one firmly yet patiently. Or the husband devoted to his sick wife as he cares for her gently and tenderly, even though she can't do anything for him in return. Or the wife of good humor, who, when her husband comes home grumpy and insensitive, nevertheless considers his needs. Or the friend who took time out of his busy life just to give you a call and check in. I mean, I've hardly even begun to scratch the surface about how beautiful this is, how lovely this virtue is that God clothes us in. But it is beautiful, isn't it? Just a glimpse here and there, just the smallest hint of it is beautiful. Compassion like that, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience like that. This bearing with one another. And even when one has a complaint, forgiving each other because the Lord has forgiven you. It's so beautiful. And when I hear this, what I want to say is yes. Yes, I want to wear this. Yes. I want to delight in these things too. I want to put this on. I want to wear these virtues and live in them, live like this in my own life. Will it be work to live like this? I suppose in a way it will be. But you know, we see a lot of people sweat and struggle and work hard at the things they want. A good athlete happily puts in the hours at the gym. The best-selling novelist pours herself into her writing, and she wrote a lot that landed in the trash before that bestseller made it. Is there any downside for us to actively pursue compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience toward others? I mean, I guess there is a cost. You'll have to die to yourself. But so what? I don't much like that part of myself anyway, so I'd rather it die. What about you? Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, these are your new Christmas clothes in Christ. So try them on. Wear them. Now you might be thinking, Pastor, I can't do it. Pastor, that's lovely and all, and I want to fit into it. I keep trying, but it's not the right fit for me. Something's wrong with me. So what you're saying is that you're still trying to figure out how to wear your baptism. You're telling me that you haven't yet changed as much as you need to and want to. You're telling me these new clothes don't feel normal and natural on you yet. Me too. I feel the same way. But remember who you are, chosen, holy, and beloved. And that's not going away. And I'll tell you this, I plan to keep putting these on. I plan to keep wearing them. I figure that I'll grow into them eventually, or they'll grow into me. I figure that I'll break them in eventually, or they'll break me in, God willing. You know, we're like children. This is the way God sees us. Sometimes we put our shoes on the wrong feet and stumble over ourselves. Sometimes we get the pants on backwards. Sometimes we stick the arm through the wrong hole. But don't give up and don't despair. We are growing in Christ and we are not yet what we will be. But don't forget that part, what we will be. Or maybe think of yourself like that 4-year-old who got a superhero cape for Christmas. He puts on that cape and he's ready for great things, and the more he wears it, the more he acts like the hero. You have your Savior's cape around your neck. So go ahead, leap off that chair and see where you land. I know this about you because St. Paul says it. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You will appear with him in glory. Our Lord Jesus Christ put on our human flesh. He wore our weakness. He took the form of a servant. In fact, not only a servant, but he humbled himself to the point of death on a cross. And he gave all of that to you in baptism. Baptized into him, you have put on Christ and his virtues. Baptized into Christ, and because of what he did, it changes everything, including me and you. And he is about that work of change still today. Now, there's hardly time to do justice to everything St. Paul says in this passage, but I do want to point out a couple more things. In this same passage, he urges that the peace of Christ rule in our hearts and that we be thankful. Our new clothes fit better when we have God's peace and when we cultivate thankfulness. We're coming to the end of 1 year and the beginning of another, and I think one of the best ways to end a year and begin another is by making a list of what you're thankful for, even little things. Make a list of specific people in your life, your friend, your husband or wife, your children, your neighbor, and list the reasons you're thankful for them. And then let's not leave our new clothes in the drawer or hanging in the closet. St. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I'll go into the singing part more during Bible hour today, but let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word is so important. It's meant to dwell in us. Or you might say to keep house in us. Not like a servant that we get to order around, but the word is meant to be a master in our lives. We are to take our instructions and directions from the word. We are to receive from the word our nourishment and our strength. And it is to dwell in us richly, not poorly, not in a way where it's got little influence or little bearing on our lives, but let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you were to make one resolution for the year, let it be this: to dwell in the word richly, to read and study that word at home, and to be here in church together every Sunday so that we can teach and encourage one another. You won't regret it. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Because I'll tell you this, whatever you do, whatever you say, however you act, you look stunning in that robe of Christ's righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. You are clothed to the nines. You are dressed so beautifully, and you are dressed for eternity, and it's not borrowed. It's given. And it's yours to keep. In Jesus' name, amen.